CIUT 89.5, Toronto.
And welcome to the Taylor Report. It is CIUT 89.5 FM. It is Christmas Eve, so be sure you behave well. Santa's out. And our guest today is going to be David Himbara, who is the author of wonderful books on contemporary Rwanda, Kagame's economic mirage, Kagame's economic mirage and Kagame's killing fields. He also has a great Twitter account, and I think he's joining us now. Are you there, David?
Yes, I am, Phil. How are you doing?
Very good. We're glad to be talking to you. Because one thing, we want to say how happy we are that Diane Wigara and her mother, Adeline, have won a court victory, although there's an appeal hanging from the prosecutor hanging over their heads. Tell us how you're reacting to the news.
Oh, wow. It was wonderful news and rare news, indeed, in the country of Rwanda, for these two brave women to be freed by the court. It's very rare because, you know, hardly anyone ever wins a court case against the state in Rwanda. Mm-hmm. But it was exciting, welcome news.
Yeah. The I believe on your Twitter account and elsewhere, you speculate that the Kagame government is sort of getting into a corner with it. It has projects and it has hopes of cultivating powers which might be causing it to behave a little bit differently. Is that right?
Yes. You know, we have all been trying to speculate as to why Diane and Adeline Rizara were freed, or even Ingabire before them. Mm-hmm. Why now? I put two theories forward. One of them is that there was this extraordinary reaction towards the imprisonment of the two women in the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
About five senators and representatives voiced their opinions publicly.
Mm-hmm.
That you know, the imprisonment of these women was just an absurd thing. It was just too much.
Mm-hmm.
And of course. We have to remember that the United States is a top donor to Rwanda.
Mm-hmm.
And we have never seen this before either, that, you know, senators, you know, and representatives even going on Twitter very actively.
Mm-hmm.
And then also holding a hearing on this case in Rwanda.
Mm-hmm.
So it was quite a public display,
mm-hmm.
displeasure towards the regime of Kagame. So that's one.
Mm-hmm.
The second speculation put forward was that you see, Rwanda is hosting the Commonwealth,
mm-hmm.
heads of state and government meeting for 2020. Even the Queen of Britain is headed to Rwanda.
Yes. And two famous political women being in jail would not look too good, would it?
Absolutely not. and of course, the Commonwealth recently went to Rwanda to investigate, you know, if whether Rwanda was ready or not.
Mm-hmm.
So we think that... this, as you just pointed out, this wouldn't look good at all.
Uh-huh.
To have these two women in prison while hosting the Queen.
Yes. Yeah.
And then there is one that I haven't said before, but also it might have it's of an interest to raise this issue as well. lately in Africa, even the worst hardcore dictatorships have been opening up, freeing prisoners, making peace with one another. I'm talking here about Ethiopia.
Yeah, Ethiopia is a very big development.
Indeed.
And it's always cast a shadow over Rwanda.
Yes, and then, of course, and then the madman of Eritrea himself is opening up. So Rwanda seems to be the old man, the old person out. So this, otherwise, we don't believe that, this is the, because justice, the court deciding that this is not fair to imprison these women. There has to be some reason like those.
Yeah. We're speaking to David Himbara, and again, his books, Kagame's Economic Mirage, which is a terrific book, and Kagame's Killing Fields, both, it's, I'd say, essential reading. And, of course, David Himbara has experienced close up. And he worked in the offices of Paul Kagame. And by the way, David, I have to say, I was very impressed that the president, Kagame, in talking about his problems recently, attributed them to this fellow Himbara.
Oh.
Yeah. So what have you done that caused him so much problem? I was very happy to see you referred to as this fellow. That we think of you as this fellow, David Himbara, ourselves. He was having some problems with South Africa, but somehow he brought you into the discussion.
Yeah, well, he called me a better name this time. He's used some worse terms before, but anyhow. So I'd be happy to be called fellow Himbara. You see, Kagame has been very aggressive attacking all sorts of countries. Of late, he's on the case of Burundi and Uganda. Three days ago, he didn't mention the names, but he said that these two countries in the neighborhood don't wish Rwanda well, but he's ready to deal with any of these countries that have an attitude towards. Rwanda. Now, two weeks before that, his ministers and one of the newspapers that are sponsored by the regime attacked the foreign minister of South Africa. Actually called her Kayumba Nyamwasa's prostitute.
Yeah, that's Miss Lindiwe Sisulu.
Yes.
They called her a prostitute.
Yes, and this is Lindiwe Sisulu, the freedom fighter, the anti-apartheid icon.
They're adopting Trump-style language.
Yes. So they had this language before Trump.
They always did that, yes. They were before Trump.
Yeah. So South Africa... Now, why they attacked her? She made a press release, a press conference. She gave a press conference, and one of the questions posed to her was the relations with Rwanda. Her answer was that Rwanda was really no that the two countries were poised now to improve relations. And built on a good foundation, because, as she explained, finally the inquest on Karegeya's death was going to clear the deck, so that all the issues would be dealt with, and then the two countries would build a proper relationship. And then she added that she had spoken to Nyamwasa himself.
Yes.
Who was willing and ready to talk to the authorities of Rwanda, so that neither Rwanda or dissidents from Rwanda uses South Africa as a playground of making trouble. So all this, she said, was positive because now they're ready to build a better relationship. After all, the relationship had broken because of attempts at Nyamwasa's life and then the death of Karegeya.
Yes.
The Rwandans were not very pleased with this, so they attacked her.
Now, you point out, and again, and please go to David Himbara's Twitter to read these things, but you point out there is going to be the inquest into the death of Colonel Karegeya, who was once the chief of intelligence for Rwanda, long-standing RPF member, outstanding member, you could say. Most of us who think about it and talk, for example, the Karegeya family, would not expect this is going to have very happy results for President Kagame's entourage.
Yes, and I think the real reason Kagame and his government are attacking South Africa, you see, they were under the false assumption that because there is a new head of state in South Africa, and that he's friendly, and they've been talking, there was this assumption that, the court case itself, or the inquest would also be thrown under the rug. They assume that Rwanda is like South Africa, where politics also control the law, the rule of law, the judiciary. But, of course, this is not so.
His problems seem to be increasing. I want you to explain to our listeners. Here they really, if anyone trying to follow it by reading the Globe, Star, or whatever, CBC, they don't know whether Rwanda is an economic miracle, and with data supplied by the World Bank, or is it maybe a show, or let's say a mirage, to use your word. Is the World Bank a little schizophrenic? Because you point out that the data seems to move Rwanda up and down on the scale of success-failure rather dramatically.
Yeah, the World Bank and IMF, often flatter the regime that it's doing well. This is especially when it comes to what they call doing business indicators. Rwanda now is the second in Africa, according to the World Bank data, that it's open for business. It has great doing business indicators, namely that you can go and start a business in one day. You can apply or electricity and get it in one day. La la la. There are about 10 doing business indicators. Where Rwanda should be a star. Now, but to be fair to the World Bank, it has other indicators that show the reverse. For example, when we look at the bank's three indicators about poverty ranking. When we look at $1.90 a day, the World Bank shows that 57% of Rwandans are extremely poor. This delivered extreme poverty. When we use the $3.20, another World Bank indicator, then 80% of Rwandans are poor. When the World Bank uses 5.50 cents dollars, then 92% are poor. So this is hardly a success story. But they say that Rwanda uses aid well, la la la, and as I said, doing business indicators. But the other indicators don't flatter Rwanda at all. It's a poverty-stricken state.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah, you actually provided some statistics that really are shocking, given the impression people have, you know, that Rwanda has become the Switzerland of Africa. By the way, they used to say it was a Switzerland before 1994. It was once referred to as a Switzerland. It keeps being called that. But the data you supply about, you know, how people, who has electricity, who has heat, who has clean water, oh, my gosh, those are not good numbers.
Those are not good numbers, and very often we point out the lie. Mm-hmm. They follow what we write, and sometimes they go and correct the numbers, where it's very obviously a big lie.
Mm-hmm.
But they cannot lie themselves out of the fact that, for example, the Rwanda has only about 218 megawatts.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that the University of Toronto uses only 218 megawatts. It probably uses 300.
Uh-huh.
Yes, because
well, we're more advanced than them.
Yeah, just university. Because even one data center, you know, to run a data center here in North America, you need more than that. You need about 500
mm-hmm.
megawatts.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just not on. It's not on. And of course, even those more than half of that is consumed in the capital city of Kigali,
mm-hmm.
which looks very impressive, clean, well-paved streets, palm trees lined up, lining up the boulevards, beautiful hotels, you know.
Yes.
Very impressive when you go there, as long as you don't go off the main street and you don't venture about more than 10 kilometers away.
Yeah. The lights are on at the Mill Colleen.
Absolutely. No, Mill Colleen is the past. That's a lot old stuff now. We're talking about here the Kigali Convention Center.
Ah.
The $500 million hotel complex.
Yeah. Again, this is David Himbara, and please go to his Twitter account. It's brilliant stuff. It's obviously the president reads it closely. So I want to ask you lastly, David, you are a personal witness to one of the basic problems, which is that they have a tendency to try to create figures rather than create change on the ground or really improvement, right? They say, we'll just put it up there. You actually had that. That's the reason you actually ended up resigned in a hurry, I think.
Absolutely. Well, this is the country where a president can come to a meeting of senior staff, the ministers, and say, well, I want us to have grown by 11% last year. And, you know, when I saw that, I nearly fell off my chair. Mm-hmm. How do you enter a room and say, in a country, we grew by 11%?
Mm-hmm.
In Canada here, of course, where do we manage 1%?
Mm-hmm.
Annual growth, that would be quite spectacular. But this man wants 11%. And by the way, even if 11%, then we have to ask what 11% of what? of bananas and and mangoes. my granddaughter here near is laughing at 11% of bananas. It's quite insane, man.
Well, one thing it is a tribute to is that they obviously considered you brilliant enough to be able to find put all those numbers together and everybody keep a straight face while they're red.
Yeah, you know.
You must be, in some respects, even in their eyes, quite gifted.
They follow what we write, so we'll keep writing, and you know, and many others follow, write as well. So you know,
mm-hmm.
We'll keep embarrassing them. And, yeah. All it was.
Well, this has been David Ibarra, a great analysis, Twitter account, and the Kagame's Economic Mirage, Kagame's Killing Fields, two wonderful books. David, thank you very much for taking this time on Christmas Eve. We hope you have a nice holiday.
Happy New Year. Wonderful Christmas.
All right. Talk to you soon. Bye. Bye-bye. Taylor Report, CIUT. We're going to hear a little bit of one of our favorite people, and then we'll come back.